come into this time together, prayer. We do want to lift up those who are listed there in your bulletin, those who have been named. I'm sure there are others who are on your hearts today. So as we go before the Lord, just quiet yourself, and whatever it is you're needing, whatever needs you have, present them to the Lord. Place them in the Lord's hands. Father, as we continue into this new year, we're grateful once again to be able to gather into your house, sign of our commitment to you in response to your commitment to us. Your faithfulness never ends. Your love never ends. Your mercy, your kindness, your forgiveness are beyond measure. As we come here, we commit ourselves to you, to that mission of helping others to know who you are. The promise that is for their life as they learn to trust in you. The strength, the confidence, the sense of direction in our lives that come as we trust more and more in you. I'm grateful for each one who is here today and those who are joining us online. We pray your blessing on each one. For those who are listed in prayer and those that we lift up in our hearts, Lord, we know you already know in advance what those needs are. And we're not sure exactly what it is to pray. Your Spirit can interpret that, and we are grateful for that as well. But we trust them into you because you're faithful. We ask your healing touch be upon those who are in the hospital and those who are home and continuing to heal from different things, who are struggling with the flu and other things that are going around. We know there are many who are ill, but we ask for you to heal their bodies, restore their strength, renew their minds, renew their spirit. We continue, Lord, to look to you for direction as we move into the year. We pray, Lord, that you'll open our eyes to see the path that you would have us to go, that we'll continue to be shaped by your Holy Spirit to make ourselves available to those around us who need our support and care, who need words of encouragement, that you will give us those words, that you will help us to see how you have gifted us to be a part of your mission. So many who need to know you. You promise that you'll be faithful to help us to accomplish what it is you have in mind for us if we will make ourselves available. So we give ourselves to you now. We thank you for what you're doing and what you've already done, and we pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. This time, just a reminder, if you have not yet had an opportunity to do so, that we have plates here on each side and in the entry for your offerings. But we want to offer up a word of thanks to God for his generosity towards each of us so that we can be a part of that mission. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we can't outgive you. It's hard for us to imagine how generous you really are, not just to us, but to everyone here. And yet we are aware that there are needs around us in the world, within the life of our own congregation. And you've given us the ability to help meet those needs. So we pray for those who have given, for each giver, and for each gift. We pray, Lord, that you will give us wisdom and discernment about how best to use that, so that it might bring you honor, might bring you glory. We pray. this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Our Old Testament lesson comes from Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 through 4 and 9. The plans of the mind belong to mortals, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All one's ways may be pure in one's own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for a purpose, even the wicked. Day of trouble. The human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps.
Stay. Sing this through twice.
The living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the God, all afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, all afresh on me.
The New Testament lesson today comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worth praise, think about these things. As for the things you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you.
Let's pray. Oh God, I am but a man, and yet you have called me to be a servant and to be a vessel in your hands. And in my heart are many words, some that are mine and some that are yours. So let mine fall away, that we might hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, since we are at the beginning of the year, and we have just sent the wise men on their way, we're looking at a little bit of the wisdom that is found in Scripture, and how that applies to us. Certainly didn't come from the wise men. This is from Solomon, right? But that God gives us insight to our lives. One Sunday, when I was the associate pastor down at Marion Aldersgate many years ago, we had a guest speaker who was in town from Georgia, leading an evangelism seminar there. And his message basically said this, that if we want to be effective servants of God, if we want to be effective servants of God, we have to discover God's will and then participate in it. If we want to be effective servants of God, we have to discover God's will After the message, I did, as I often did, greet people around the church, and one of the long-term, older members, well-established members of the church came up to me and said, you know, I have no idea how in the world that guy thinks he has the right to try to tell us what the will of God is. And I have to admit, it is kind of confusing, isn't it, trying to figure out what in the world the will of God is. But the reality is, even though we struggle with that, if we cannot know the will of God, then what is the reason for us even gathering? We gather here because we trust that God is wanting to show us that, right? So that we can be the kind of people that God has created us to be. I believe we can know God's will for our lives, and that's why I'm a pastor. I really believe this is what God's will is for me, what God's purpose is for me, what God has called me to do. So I get up here every Sunday, not just here, but wherever I'm at, I get up with that hope that God has shown me something that might help you see something about that. It really is maybe one of the deepest hungers for all of us, deepest desires for all of us, as Christian people at least, to align our lives with who God is calling us to be, who God has created us to be. I brought my little toy with me this morning, the Hoberman sphere, you know, and I told you what this was about, you know. I think it's a model for the church, but these rings, in my mind, if I can make that stand, maybe. Look at that. I'm a magician. Each of those rings, I think, represents one of the core values of our lives as Christians. These core values are the things that hold us together, help shape and guide who we are. And that's what I'm focusing on a bit today. One of those core values. Answering that question about God's will. What is it? What is that will? God sent Jesus into the world to show us that God has a plan for us. We just celebrated his birth. Advent talks about his coming again. But why did he come? He came because the world was a mess and we needed to be redirected and have an opportunity to be restored from the brokenness caused by sin in our lives. To show us God's plan for us. So if we want to please God, we need to discover what God's will for us. But many Christians, most Christians I know, in fact, say, I have no idea really what God's will is for me. We struggle with that. So today I'm getting here thinking about that. It's the reason we think about whether or not we are going to make a new year. Anybody here make a resolution? Anybody? You know, a lot of people stop doing that because you know what a resolution is? It's a promise you make yourself that you only have to keep through the end of January. Yeah. Will I make a resolution? People say, this year, it's going to be the year. And so they get a gym membership, right? If you have a membership to the gym, this is the time to stay home because there's lots of people there and you can't get to the apparatus. But just wait a couple of weeks. They'll be gone. There'll be plenty of room. But this year, this is the year I'm going to get on track. I'm going to stay on track. We are resolved. We're going to do that. A pastor, a friend of mine, Shane Bishop, talks about this. He said, you know, it's not about telling ourselves, I'm going to do this year. When we think about it from the perspective of a whole year and we miss one day, we blew it, we're off track, we've ruined it, it's not even worth our time anymore. Instead, look at it one day at a time because, see, we don't have to wait till January 1st to do this. Every day is a new day. There's always going to be something that will come along and interrupt your day, your plan for the
today, I'm going to be more of who God wants me to be. Today, I'm going to eat better. Today, I'm going to get the exercise I need. Today, I'm going to get my devotional time in, and I'm going to pray. Today, I'm going to be kinder. I'm going to be more forgiving. I'm going to be more merciful. Today, I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to do that today. And if something happens, then you start again tomorrow. That's my goal, to be more like Jesus today, just today. Focus on that. When we realize that we can start again every day, it increases the likelihood we'll actually get it done sometimes, and we'll make a difference. Things happen that get in the way. A University of Washington study found that 84% of the people who want to do something positive, something they've wanted to do for a long time, who decide they're going to do that at the beginning of the year, adding something to their life, they succeed in that. If it's something you really want to do that's positive, you get it done. 14% of those who vow to remove something from their life that's just really not very helpful, only 14% accomplish that. And so I think it's best that if we just come up with one or two things that were really positive, that we really want to do, we've always wanted to do, and we commit to that, we're more likely to get it done. So you start each day. Have to be realistic. Sometimes something gets in the way. What is it that's causing you not to be able to do it? Sometimes you have to make an adjustment to do it. And then you just start again. Start again. So, what's the most important New Year's resolution that anybody can make? Well, I think it's discovering God's will for your life and trying to live that better daily. So today, I'm giving you five words to help you discover God's will and to do it. And the first of those is that it is a process. Finding God's will is a process. There are steps involved. Of course, what do we usually do? We think, you know, God, this is what I really want to do. So will you bless it? And then when it doesn't go well, we go back to God and say, God, why didn't you bless this? Well, probably because what you wanted to do really wasn't aligned with what it was that God wanted and needed you to do. So from my perspective, it just seems a lot wiser to begin right there and begin by asking God, what is it that you're wanting me to do with my life? Begin there. Because God wants to show us, to guide us. And if we're humble enough, if we're patient enough, and we just come to God in prayer and say, God, my personal plans too easily get in the way of what it is you're wanting to accomplish through me, and say, God, give me that patience and that humility to wait on you, then God will, in fact, lead you. That's where the process begins. The second word is potential. You have the potential for doing what God wants you to do. When we invite the Lord into our lives, when we're baptized, Scripture says that God gives each one of us gifts so that we can do the things that God wants us to do. God does not give each one of us gifts only to then say, okay, now I want you to go off and do this instead. Why would God want to waste our time and our talents? God doesn't want to do that. God gives us spiritual gifts so that we can do that. God gives you gifts that go along with what it is God wants you to do. And when you serve God using your spiritual gifts, you will experience four things. You'll be good at it. You'll love doing it. You'll find that you have opportunities to do it, and you will bless other people's lives while you're doing it. Who doesn't want to experience that? But you know what? The most wasted
whether or not we left the lights on too long or had the heat up too high. It's this. Our failure to figure out what gifts are and using them, working together. The most wasted part of the stewardship of the church. And I think that's one of these vital core values, discovering those gifts. Because when you discover those gifts and you unite with others who have complementary gifts and you discover you have a passion for the same thing, together you accomplish God's will. There are a number of spiritual gift surveys out there. There's some free ones online. I'll send Abby a link and you can share that with people. Something you can sign up for. There are other things you may or may not want to do that. I'm trying to find one that I can download and hand out because some of you don't necessarily want to go online. But it's amazing what you find out. One of the funniest things about those things I've always discovered when I've done a course on spiritual gifts, teachers get frustrated by that because usually they'll come back and say, your giftedness is not teaching. Now, that doesn't mean that they aren't effective and good teachers. It just means probably they're most effective at their, what it is that is their giftedness, what they do in their job as a teacher that is using that gift is what makes them shine. It's amazing to find those things out. You have potential because God has gifts for you. The third word is purpose. God has gifts for you so that you can do what you're supposed to do. God has created each one of us for a purpose. And God stirs within us as we discover more about that and we discover our gifts, a passion to accomplish it. Psalm 37, verse 4. Take delight in the Lord, and God will give you your heart's desire. You see, when you take delight in the Lord, it's about wanting to fulfill in your life the will of God. When that's what you really want, when that's what you really desire for your life, whatever your occupation is, that you fulfill the will of God, you're delighting in that. That's when you'll discover whatever it is you're doing in life, you have a greater sense of purpose and fulfillment in it. I once saw an ad that asked the question, basically, how can I change the world? And a lot of people say, I can't change the world. There's no way that I can change the world. Not possible. Well, it's probably true that your name won't be a household name around the world. But when you are being the kind of person God wants you to be in your relationships, whether it's your friends, your family, your coworker, your neighbors, when you're doing that, you're impacting their lives. And you're changing your part of the world. And when you change your part of the world, it affects them and then how they relate to the world. You're changing the world one person at a time. Just by you being the person God created you to be and inviting God to show you today how you might be more like Jesus in your relationships. When you ask God to show you those gifts, help to use them in your world. Find that purpose. Word for it, priorities. When you want to fulfill God's will for your lives, you set priorities. If you don't set any priorities, there are a lot of good things in the world to do, aren't there? There's tons of good things to do. All of us find ourselves getting drawn into those, and some of those things are, in fact, what you and I, we need to do on a particular day. It's not all about me and my gifts. Sometimes we just align our gifts with something somebody else is doing and help it to happen. But if we're focusing on too many things and we're not focusing on giving priority to the uniqueness that God has given us and following that, we may fail to do the greater good that we're uniquely positioned to do. bought a ranch. Loved it. 6 months in, one of their friends came by to check on them, said, "So did you come up with a name for your ranch?" "Oh, yeah, we finally did. We discovered as we talked about what it was we were doing that each of us had our own sense of what the priority is, so we compromised. And so we were naming the ranch the Flying J Susie Q Bar J Lazy Y Ranch." He looked around and said, "Well, where's your cattle?" I said, "Well, none of them survived the branding." It was the big Well, that can happen in our lives if we have too many priorities. We get worn down. Businesses fail if they don't have focus. Churches fail when they don't have priorities and focus. As individuals, that's true for us. 6 questions to help you set priorities. Is it pleasing to God? Is it good for you and your family and your marriage? Does it have eternal value? Will it positively influence others? Does it utilize your gifts? And is anybody willing to come alongside you to help accomplish it? Because see, God didn't give us all of the gifts. God gave each of us some. So that we could use our complementing gifts to accomplish things together. Things that we could never accomplish on our own. And when we figure out what those are, and we partner with other things, people who have a passion for the same thing, we will discover that God has uniquely positioned this church to do something that is needed for this community that no one else is uniquely positioned to do. Do you believe that about yourselves and your church? It's true. 1 Corinthians, Paul says in chapter 1, you have been given all of the gifts that you need. I think that's true for you, for us. Fifth word is proceed. We're called to both know and to do the will of God. Too often we limit Christian faith, though, just to knowing about it. We have knowledge about it. As if that is enough, we gain that information. But the Bible shows us that we're also supposed to act upon what we know. In fact, what you see throughout the Bible is the struggle. As God shows people his will for their lives and whether or not they choose to follow through with it. You got the story of Jonah who says, "I'm not going to do it." Well, things didn't go so well for him. He had a well of a problem. And then he finally made a different decision and went a different direction. And you know what? Things went well. Mary and Joseph agreed with God's will for their lives. And look what happened. We're here because they followed through with that. Abraham, same thing, right? Amazing. Bible full of stories. Are you ready to go when God shows you his will for you? Why don't we go? Well, often it's because we want to see the whole path laid out before us from beginning to end before we even start, before we will even say yes to it. Right? We'd like to know. If Mary and Joseph had to wait till they had the whole plan laid out before them, do you think they would have gone? Would Mary have gone had she known that's what was going to happen to her son? Would you choose to do that? I don't know. The reality is that we're called to move into it. Finding the will of God in our lives is kind of like driving at night, you know? You've got the lights on. You don't see the whole path. You just keep moving forward into where the lights are. You've got the brights so you don't overdrive it. You can keep moving. And then you can see down the road enough to keep going. And if there's something in the way, you need to make an adjustment. You see it, you can make that adjustment. That's the way it is with the will of God. You just move. what's before you to do. And then you just keep moving. And then it becomes more evident where it is you are supposed to go. We don't stay at home at night because we don't see the whole path. We get in the car and we start to go. We have to proceed to move into that journey. We have to start moving in the direction God is going. See what comes next. Alabama famous coach Bear Bryant used to have a sign in his locker room that said, cause something to happen. And that's what happens when we start moving, proceeding into what God is showing us right now. This is what I see. I'm going to move in that direction. And then something else unfolds. As you start moving, though, you start causing something to happen. And we're supposed to cause something to happen. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in us to cause that something to happen. And see where that leads us. See what unfolds. Why don't we proceed? Because we don't think it's clear enough path? Or because we're afraid that we aren't good enough? That we're not skilled enough? We're afraid we're going to fail. But here's the deal. God is much more concerned about you taking that step and moving into it than what the world thinks about what's successful or failure. Just start moving, and you'll learn something along the way. Well, that wasn't exactly it. I need to make an adjustment. Go this way, go that. But you have to start moving, and it's that moving that shows your faith. I'm going to go, God. Where are you leading? Abraham didn't know. I'll show you where it is, Abraham. He started moving. God led him there. How many times, though, did Moses go before Pharaoh, asking God to let my people go? How many times did he do that before Pharaoh let him go? 10 plagues. 10 times. It would have been very easy for Moses at any point along that way to say, God, they're just not paying any attention to me. I'm not supposed to be doing that. Quit. But he didn't. He went back again. Finally, they were free. There's a Garfield cartoon that shows him lying in bed, thinking to himself, saying, one of my pet peeves is someone who never finishes what they start. So my philosophy is I never start anything. Well, if we never move when God says to move, we'll never get where God is going. We'll never live into that will of God. It's a trap. God gives us the ability to do what needs to be done. God shows us the way, unfolds the path. So the question for me, for you today, for myself as well, is will we resolve to take another step? Will we step forward where we see the light moving and become part of what God is doing? Will we invite God to help us become more aware of what each of our gifts are? And just start working and living into that in our daily lives. How might I use this particular gift in what I'm doing now? Ask God to help you see the gifts where God wants you to use them. And then step into whatever that is. Make it your daily practice. Today I'm going to try to live this out in myself. God has made me this kind of person. Help me be a light into the darkness. That I might influence my little part of the world. That they will see that, yes, I'm not alone in this. The Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, impossible for us to